Zephaniah 3:14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughters Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, the 13th chapter. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time it will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May God add a blessing of understanding to our hearing of this holy text. Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, most churches, did you know, read from the prophets during the season of Advent, and we've had our good dose of the prophets. Sometimes they read from Malachi, Jeremiah, Isaiah, or Micah, and today we had Zephaniah, all these good iron names. Zephaniah is true to form in the prophets, in the sense of what the prophets do. And Deborah Block says that the prophets, and the reason we read them during Advent is because the prophets say what no one else is willing to say. The prophets say what no one wants to believe. Hold on to that one. The prophets point in a direction that no one wants to look. They hear God when everyone else has concluded that God is silent. And they see God where nobody else would guess that God is present. Those are the times and the moments when the voice of the prophet becomes clearest, and when God sent the prophet to the Israelites. Zephaniah is no different. In the previous chapters to the one that we read this morning, Zephaniah calls the people to lament and to repent. Remember, a few weeks ago we said that that literally means turning around 180 degrees and heading back in the other direction, to repent, to turn around and travel in the opposite direction, to change our behaviors. Jerusalem at the time of Zephaniah is corrupt. In chapter 1, we hear that there is violence and fraud in Jerusalem. The nations around Zephaniah and around Jerusalem are equally corrupt. God is indignant. God is sick of it. And so Zephaniah, in the midst of this reality, is set to minister to the people, speaking in the voice of God, dreaming the dreams of God. Zephaniah begins a ministry of calling the people to lament for their sin and to repent from their ways. He speaks truth to power. And then we have the text that we read this morning. And it may just roll off the tongue. We may have heard it before. We may just have assumed that it's some ancient text. But let me tell you, it is revolutionary. Because there is Zephaniah calling the people to lament and to repent. And then all of a sudden, he's saying, rejoice. Be glad. And he promises this future, because the people are hopeless under the tyranny. The people are hopeless when they look at the way things are being run in their society. But Zephaniah, as a prophet, believes in the future that God foretells, believes in the future that is yet to become. And so Zephaniah speaks that hope into the midst of the people, knowing that no one is going to turn around and change direction without some sense of vision, right? Without something calling them forward to something better and something greater. Are you starting to hear why it is we read the prophets during Advent? Because, friends, we know that Christ has already come. We know that 2,000 odd years ago, born in Bethlehem, lived 33 odd years, crucified. Christ has come. And yet, we still have that voice saying, keep awake, keep alert. Christ himself tells us that in the Gospel of Mark, stay awake. Why is that? Because we're a people who celebrate the already, Christ has come. And we celebrate that every Christmas through our pageants, through our retelling of that birth story, the hope that bled into the world through the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection of that beautiful baby that we will celebrate next weekend. We celebrate the already, but we are also a people of the not yet. The not yet, because we remember that while God's realm broke forth into the world with the coming of Christ, it has yet to come to its full fulfillment. And so every time we light those Advent candles, we celebrate the coming of hope, peace, joy, and love into our midst. And throughout the year, we come to church because we try to remember and grow in the ways of Christ so that we might bring those things more into being in our own walk, but also in the world around us. And yet, we remember each Christmas too, that there is something more to tell. Christ tells us to keep awake because we know that God has yet to complete the redemption of the world. God has yet to complete the redemption of the world. We see that every time we look at the newsreels, every time we look at our Facebook feed. And so the voice of the prophet is as real for us today as it was all those many, many thousand years ago. When you look around and you see corruption or violence in the world, remember that we are a people who declare hope, a people of vision, a people who celebrate Christmas each and every year because we remember that, yes, Christ has come, but Christ will come again. So keep awake. Keep awake. Have you ever had to wait for the bus? I want to tell you, Stephen and I did not have a car when we arrived in this country. I wish they gave every single person who comes in on a visitor's visa or an immigrant visa a car. Good, I'm glad you laughed. But we didn't. And so I spent many a Boston winter waiting for either the T or the bus. And it is cold. It is cold on those streets as you wait for the bus. And the thing is, the buses run on a schedule, right? And yes, a schedule. The buses run on a schedule or a schedule, whichever one you want. And the thing is, you can even get an app on your phone now that tells you where the bus is, right? And you know it's going to come. You know that the bus is going to come. And so there's a sense of waiting that, you know, if it's cold, you might get irritated, but you know the bus is coming, and you know that it should be here in, say, 15 minutes, somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes. And so that waiting might be irritating, it might be frustrating, but it's okay. It's okay because you know the bus is coming. It's the same with the end of the school year. Who's getting excited that the semester is almost over and break is almost here? Or maybe some people have started on break. Stephen just started on break. I know he's excited. It's the same with that. You long for the end of the semester. You long for the Christmas break or the spring break or the summer break. And you have to be waiting for it. But it's not that deep, aching waiting, right? Because you know what date it starts on. You know when the break is coming. And maybe they'll tack on a day or two because of snow, but you still know when the end of the year is going to be there. Well, let me tell you, in the wintertime, when there's bad snow in Boston, the buses go berserk. Everyone does. It's terrible. There's snow plows and buses and bicycles and motorcycles and everything on the road. It's just people and it's crazy. It's crazy. And there are those roads that are built on old cow paths and you don't actually know which direction you're going. Sometimes they're one way, sometimes they switch in the middle. It's crazy if you've ever tried driving in Boston and the buses get delayed and you don't know when they're coming. And then, friends, let me tell you, the waiting starts to eat at your soul. The waiting starts to eat at your soul because you don't know when that bus is coming. And the frustration, it takes on a level of concern. You see people get anxious and upset. Well, nowadays they call Uber and Lyft. You know that kind of waiting. You know the difference in that waiting, right? Have you ever had to wait on a diagnosis from a doctor? It can eat at your soul because you just don't know. Sometimes I talk with people who are close to the end of their life and they say, you know, I've had a good run. I just want to go home now. The waiting can eat at your soul when you don't know when. It's in the midst of that kind of longing and aching that those early Israelites waited for the Messiah. And nowadays, we know the date of Christmas. We know when the Messiah came. We know that. Okay, we know that it was probably in October sometime, but now we have the 25th of December. And so it's hard for us to understand the kind of waiting that Advent asks us to do. Thank you for that devotional. It helps stretch our idea of what waiting can mean to us, right? But think about waiting richly and deeply, because friends, in that gospel text this morning, Christ is asking us to pay attention to the way we wait for the second coming, because goodness knows, God alone knows, we need more hope and peace and joy and love in our world. So let us all this Advent season wait for the coming of Christ, for surely Christ will come again. Amen.